If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Joe Polino and serve as the lead pastor here. And it is a joy to be together, get to be together as a church family. I want to invite up my friend and brother, David Marceau. Let's give a hand for David. David is going to read our teaching text for the day. David, you good to go? Okay, and as is our practice, as is our custom, after David reads God's word, he's going to say, "This is God's word," and your response is, "Thanks be to God." Take it away, David.
This is Matthew 6, 5 through 15. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is God's word.
Thanks, David. I remember my first introduction to the Lord's Prayer was an odd one. At least it was odd for me. In high school, I played football here in Garland. And I remember we were getting ready for a football game. And in the locker room, as you can imagine, full of teenage boys. And in one corner of the locker room is heavy metal, and the other one is hip hop, depending on just your preference. And so we're getting ready to like run through a wall and play this game. And so coach gathers us up, and so we're ready to go. We're yelling, we're jumping up and down. And then coach surprises me, at least. Looks like everyone else is not surprised. And he says, "Hey coach, hit us up with the Lord's Prayer." And then all of a sudden, everyone hits a knee and begins reciting this prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven." They did the King James version. "Hallowed be the name." So they go through it all. And so me not wanting to appear lost, not wanting to appear irreverent, I also take a knee and I'm just trying to mouth along so that no one else notices what's going on, that I don't know this prayer. And that for me, I remember just being struck by it. I was like, why are we doing this before the game? Are the coaches trying to settle our nerves and just have a calming, unifying prayer? Will this actually give us favor in the outcome of this game? And how are we praying this when a second ago in the locker room, "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor" was the song that was playing? So it was just really confusing and a little disorienting. And so maybe for you, when you come to the Lord's Prayer, maybe you feel a little puzzled as well as to what the big deal about this is. It might be the most recited prayer in the history of the world, because when the disciples asked Jesus, "Please teach us to pray," he explicitly said, "Pray like this." And he gave us the Lord's Prayer in two places, in Luke 11 and in Matthew 6. We just read the Matthew 6 version. And so we've heard it a lot. And so maybe you're unfamiliar with it, but you've heard it in pop culture references or in Texas high school football locker rooms. Or maybe for you, you come from a liturgical or high church background where this prayer was prayed a lot. It's like ingrained in your memory. But I know in talking with many people that come from that tradition, that even though that's not the intent, it actually had the opposite effect on you. Because when you would pray to God in that way, it felt formal or empty, and it did not feel like it was any kind of real relationship with God. You guys tracking with me? So I just want to acknowledge that coming into today, coming into this practice, the Lord's Prayer, that we might be all over the spectrum as far as where we're coming with the Lord's Prayer, but I I believe that today, as we come to learn the Lord's Prayer, I believe God has something for us today. And you might feel like you're like me in that Texas high school locker room where I feel like everyone else knows what's going on, but I do not understand what's happening. And maybe you just feel puzzled by prayer in general. You're just like, I feel like everyone else seems to have the God frequency on the radio station, but I just get static or Tejana music every once in a while. It's like, I don't know how to dial it in. And if that's where you are, if that's where you are, and maybe you've just thought, I'm not good at prayer, I can relate. And I just say there's good news for you today because you're actually set up to learn really well how to pray. And I'm going to share that in a little bit. But I also would say that the Lord's Prayer for me, so in high school, it was confusing. But in my 20s, so I had decided to follow Jesus. I had, man, just been so impacted by the love of God. And I asked God, if you're real, show me. And I feel like he did. He showed me that he answered that prayer through the church and through other people. So I'm experiencing the love of God. So I'm in my early 20s. I'm doing my first job out of college. And it was just a very dark valley in my life through different circumstances. And I remember listening to a sermon. And this older gentleman, so wise man of God, said that in the times in my life where I have had almost no strength to pray at all, the Lord's Prayer has got me through. The Lord's Prayer has got me through. And so in that hard time in my life where I'm doing my first job, I'm trying to figure out future, I'm having conflict with close relationships in my life, and I just had low hope, I said, I'm gonna give this thing a shot because I'm desperate. And in that period of my life, as I started praying the Lord's Prayer and started praying it regularly, it not only got me through that time, but ended up changing me from the inside out. And so actually when I was, what I thought was, oh, that Lord's Prayer is to be put on a shelf for, you need to talk with God. It's too religious. It actually, as I prayed it thematically and authentically, it was powerful. And so that's what I want to invite us into. Donnie did a great job getting this kicked off last week with this practice, is that this prayer is not meant to be an added burden on top of what you're already doing with your busy life. It's actually meant to be like wings lifting you up. It's like God's grace lifting you up. I love this quote from Dallas Willard in his book, Spirit of the Disciplines. He said, constant prayer will only, quote, burden us as wings burden the bird in flight. So if you're thinking, man, I'm overwhelmed, I'm exhausted, I need some help, man, instead of prayer being one more thing to say, I can't get to that, it's actually meant to be like wings to a bird in flight. So that's where we're going, that's what our aim is. And so today, so last week, Donnie kicked off our series by focusing on our Father in heaven part. And so today I'm gonna take the next line, which is hallowed be your name. But before we do that, we're gonna say the Lord's Prayer together out loud, okay? So it's up on the screen. We're gonna say it together out loud. There's different versions. Maybe you grew up with the King James. Maybe you put the art in the beginning. Maybe you had sins or trespasses. We're just gonna do this version because we gotta pick one, okay? So it's NIV version, and we did add the for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever at the end because it helps us memorize it, and it's worshipful. So you guys ready to say it with me? Okay, we're gonna say it out loud on three. Ready? One, two, three. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, I just want to agree with that prayer and say, Lord, would you transform us from the inside out? God, would you come and meet us today? Holy Spirit, highlight to us what you are speaking through your word. Amen. So here we go. We're gonna dive into that verse 9 where it says, this then is how you should pray. So Jesus says, this then is how you should pray to his disciples. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, as we were talking about this prayer as a staff and just where people were coming from, our kids director, Macy, had a funny story of when in a class, the teacher was teaching in the classroom of students names of God. What are the names of God in scripture? And this one girl looked a little confused and she said, I know the name of God. And so the teacher was like, the participation was great. She was like, oh, well, tell me. You know, this girl was so confident. Tell me, what is the name of God? She said, it's Howard. The teacher confused was like, Howard? You're like, yeah, Howard. He's like, yeah, our Father in heaven, Howard be your name is what it is. It's Howard. So if your name is Howard in this room, that's not true. That is not God's name. But I thought that was very funny. Because when we say hallowed, that's not a word that we use very much. It's kind of an old English word. It's antiquated. So what does hallowed mean? Hallowed means to make holy, to set apart, to venerate or honor to the utmost. Hallowed. And it's interesting, we're reading the New International Version, and yet there's still an old word in there. And I actually like that. I like that there's that hallowed be your name. And the picture that kept coming to mind as I was thinking about what does it mean to hallow is when I was growing up, another, you know, sports story for you, but it's what I got. I remember getting different trophies for different, you know, whether I played soccer or whether I played baseball, I would get different trophies and I had this tall bookshelf and I would put them at the top. And funny enough, a relative of ours actually was a trophy maker. It was like a business of theirs. And so when I was born, they gifted my parents with a baby trophy for being born of a bronze baby in a diaper that had my name and birth date on it. So I had no choice. I was in the trophies from when I was little. Participation ribbons I would throw away, but the trophies I would keep. And I remember as I started playing more and more, I would start to accumulate, like since I played a couple times each year, different trophies. And I remember the ones that I wanted to put front and center at the highest point were the biggest ones. It was like the championship one or like whatever award that was, I wanted it to be front and center. And it was on top shelf, front and center. And so when we say hollow, it means to honor to the utmost, like the very tippy top of the shelf and the center on all display. We want to hollow God's name. We want to hollow him as utmost. And so what does it mean to hollow God's name? Well, God's name in scripture means that's what his nature is like. It's who he is. So when you're hallowing his name, you are hallowing who God is. And in Hebrew, God revealed himself in four letters, YHWH, which is pronounced Yahweh, or some people think it was pronounced back then as Jehovah. Either way, Yahweh or that pronunciation is how God would introduce himself as in Exodus 34, you know, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. Slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and mercy. He would explain, this is who I am. But then here, Jesus is saying, when you pray, the Hebrews, the disciples knew how to pray. They were not newbies to prayer. They grew up praying. But there was a way that Jesus prayed that was different. And so they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray like you pray? And so Jesus took the holiness of Yahweh, but he started by saying, Daddy God, Abba Father, our Father in heaven. And so when he's saying, when we lift up the name of God, he is both holy and he is so close and intimate. It's beautiful, it's powerful. But why is this important for us to do? Why do we want to adore God? Why does he tell us to do that? If God is so great, why does he need us to tell him so? Why does he need us to read his own press clippings in a way? I heard it said. He doesn't need it. He doesn't. It's actually for our benefit to help us remember who we are talking about. I love what Donnie shared last week about the Lord's Prayer being a way to reorient ourselves around truth. Just like when a pilot is flying through the fog, they cannot trust their own senses, but they trust their instruments. They observe, they orient, and then they decide and act like that OODA loop that he was talking about last week. This helps us to orient that God is our Father, that he is holy, and when we adore him, it helps us to remember who he is. It helps us to remember who he is. Now, if you will pray the way that Jesus prayed, and you will start with our Father in heaven, and you will first adore God before you go to asking for things, before you go to intercession, before you go to petition, it will transform your prayer life. It will also transform your life. I'll say that again. If you adore God first, before you get to the other parts of the prayer, it will transform your life. Jesus had an order that he wanted his disciples to pray for a reason. It wasn't just a smorgasbord of Thanksgiving meal, like, hey, take a little bit of forgiveness, take a little bit of our daily bread. You start with, I think the most important two words in the whole prayer is our Father. In fact, the Catholics don't call it the Lord's Prayer. They say our Father is the name of the prayer. I actually love that. So our Father, and then they go to hallowed be your name, adore you, because when you adore, it will shape the way that you pray for his kingdom to come. It will shape the way that you ask for daily bread. It will shape the way that you will ask and confess your sin as gracious and merciful as he is, and the way that you will forgive others. It will shape everything about your life. And so for us, as we hallow his name, as we adore his name, as we lift him up, we will be shaped and transformed in the way that we pray and in the way that we live our life. So I'm really excited about this. And really, we adore what we think will delight us and satisfy us. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not just the, you know, if you say you're spiritual, not religious, if you say I'm not into religion, like there is something still that you will worship and something that you will adore. You know, what we hallow or what we adore will shape our whole lives. And so we are going to worship something, even if it's ourselves. You know, it says that I want to, you know, I listed out just on the next slide, just we adore what we think will delight us or satisfy us. So we are made with a desire to be great or significant, to be loved, to be secure at the same time, and to be respected. We could probably go on with other bullet points. You guys tracking with me? Those are things that we desire and that we need. And so we're gonna find our identity. We're gonna find how we're gonna get those needs met in some way. We're gonna either find it in adoring God or fill in the blank. It might be in a job that you have an identity in. And maybe you find that, you know what, I'll be great if I have enough money, or if I get, you know, you might find it in the praise of people. If they think well of me, or if I find this person and I get secure in this relationship, on and on and on it can go. As you guys can track with me on that. It's like what we adore is like the top of the waterfall, and everything else will trickle down from it. And there's in the very beginning, this is the actual lie. This is the actual deception that the serpent told to Adam and Eve. It's the original sin. And Satan, the serpent, never directly actually talks to Eve and says, you should eat this fruit. What the serpent does is actually attacks the character of God in a very sneaky way. Let's read it in Genesis 3. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So let's pause there. What did God really say? When God created them, male and female, he blessed them, which means be happy, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And he gave them a blessing And then in Genesis 2, he gives them a garden and he says, you may eat from any of these trees. And he just gives them so much freedom. He tells Adam, I want you to name the animals. I don't think I would give my young son that job. Like, it's just tons of freedom and blessing. And he's walking with them in the garden, unhindered. It's just love and blessing. And here the serpent comes, and he says something that has a grain of truth in it, but is deceitful. God did say, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but he did not say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. And so he's twisting God's character for us to believe that God's holding out on us, or maybe God gives us the small things, but God's holding out on his best. He's holding out on his best, and he won't give you that one thing. And so when we adore God, when we put rightly the truth of who God is, when we see him rightly, there's something in us that gets freed up from that original sin. He goes on to say, Satan goes on to lie. He says, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And they ate of it. And there's a cost when we don't adore God. There's a cost. There's sin. And we still encounter that. But God's grace covers over wherever there's sin, wherever it falls short. Amen? So how do we hallow God's name? We're going to do some practice, okay? How do we do that? There's multiple ways to do it. I just want to highlight a few. One is with gratitude. In Revelation 4, the book of Revelation is a pretty far out book. There are some prophetic visions and revelatory things of heaven, and it's sometimes hard to wrap your mind around, but I think that's one of the things that's so good about reading scripture is that it reads you and that you don't need to understand everything that it says, but you're being impacted by it. And one of the things it says in Revelation 4 is there's a throne room of God and there's four living creatures and there's eyes all over these four living creatures. Why are there four creatures and what are they doing? They are around the throne room and the eyes represent that they want to see the beauty and the majesty and the glory of God, that we were made to behold God and never get bored, it's never going to get old. Like, man, you think that heaven is going to be great because there's no death, no sin. Like, God, heaven is great because God is there. It's not this utopia, which oftentimes we can crave in our lives of we want the kingdom of God without the king. No, we don't. We want the king. And so these four living creatures have all these eyes to see the glory of God. And they are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And so when we give thanks for God in our past of who he has been to us, who he is right now and who he will be, you will be encouraged and you will see that God's name will begin to climb that shelf in your life and it will be at the center. And we need to constantly re-put God's name at the top. So when we give thanks, we say, God, thank you that you have been faithful to me. Thank you that you have not treated me as I deserve. You have been patient to me. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for keeping pursuing me. Thank you for the people around me that you said, thank you, on and on you can go. Thank you for how you've done in the past. Thank you right now that you promised to be with me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me as a down payment of what's going to come. That in my need that you're gonna meet me. And in the future, I know that I have a secure relationship with you. On and on you can go. As you give thanks, you're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. It will change your heart. It'll change you. The other way is, I just put on here, is singing. I like to sing. I don't think I have the best voice in the world, but scripture says to make a joyful noise, not to make a beautiful noise, so we can all sing. We're all commanded to sing. And when we sing together of one heart and one soul, and we sing together songs of praise, it will shape us. It will help us to adore God. I love the Psalm 87:7. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. What does that mean? You think about all the good things in your life, all your hopes, all your dreams. Those are like lowercase hopes that are downstream. Those, you know, you're wanting to get that promotion. You wanted to see your kid, learn how to read. You want, all those things are important things. And all the fountains, all of our hopes are ultimately found in him. And as we sing that, it will change us. Another one, fear the Lord. Man, that's kind of an odd phrase, but what it means is what you fear is what you will bow down to or what you will adore. If you fear what people think about you, if you fear displeasing someone or losing someone or something happening, that you can pray and pray and pray the Lord's Prayer, but if that thing still has top place in your heart, you will not find peace. You have got to replace the fear of that thing with fear of the Lord. And I just want to say, man, this is something I'm not saying tritely. When I was in that season of my life where I was like, man, I need the Lord's Prayer, this was something that transformed my life because I needed the fear of God. And I went to passages that gave me like iron for my spiritual life, like about the greatness of God and the bigness of God. And one of those is Isaiah 40. So I just want to read it right here. Isaiah 40, verse 25 says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? What do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." So you just read those scriptures that talk about, we had the solar eclipse happen a couple weeks ago and we were in the path of totality. Just think about looking at the stars or looking at who put them in place. God did. And you get the sense of when God is big, then your problems are in the right perspective. When your problems are big and God is small, you have no wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom to see things rightly. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna do some more practice. So another way to hallow God's name is that we thank him for who he is. You should have received just this little Lord's Prayer booklet in here. If you turn to, there's not page numbers, but if you turn to the page of adoration, you'll see that there is a list of the names of God. So it has Yahweh, the Lord. It has Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Rapha. So you might not have heard these. When I was taught these, it added some power into my prayer life to be able to adore God. And so on the screen, the way that I learned how to pray them was actually Jehovah. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh. And so what I want to do with us together is we're going to take time to actually turn our attention to God and say these together. Okay? So we're going to do that, and I'm going to actually invite you all to stand up. We're going to stand up. If this is something that you're like, man, I love this stuff, like I'm ready to go, then awesome. If you're like, man, I don't like this stuff, or my friend is here and I feel nervous right now, hey, it's okay. What we're going to do is we're going to say, God, thank you for who you are. And then I'm going to say, God, you are. And then we're just going to say from the beginning, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace, Jehovah Shema. And we're just going to go down and we're going to lead it, read it. And as we declare it, maybe there'll be one or two that stick out to you, and let it just wash over you and help us to adore. You guys ready? Okay. So God, you are. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. Amen. You guys can sit down. That's who the Lord is. So as we adore him, man, it changes things. But I will say this week, as I was practicing this prayer, what do we do when our hallowing feels hollow and our adoration falls flat? When I was doing some errands over the weekend, I was driving around. I've been trying to pray this practice. And over the last few days of doing this, I was doing it faithfully, but it just felt flat. It felt like kind of the rote prayers. And I was like, okay, I'm doing it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I was like, Holy Spirit, help me. What's going on? And I realized in that moment, as it was falling flat, that there was something behind me trying to pray the prayer that I wasn't bringing to the Lord. I wasn't being honest. And so what happens when we hollow God and it falls flat? We need to come as we are. We need to come messy and come like a child. And this is really my last point. When we come like a child, we are doing what Jesus said when he said, don't pray like the hypocrites that put on a mask, put on a front, and they say certain things, but their hearts are far from me. Come to me like a child. Come to me as you are. I've got young kids, and our youngest son, Bo, is one. And he's learning how to talk, and so he calls books butts. He said, but, and he'll carry around his little book, and it won't matter what I'm doing. The other day, I was doing a home workout, so I had weights everywhere, and I'm like in the middle of trying to get my heart rate up, and he comes up to me, he's like, but, and he's got his little book there, and you know, it doesn't. He has no issues about just coming and saying, as he is, I want you to read to me. I want you, and you know, kids are like that. They just come up to you and they ask. And we as parents do not chastise them for that. We're like, yeah. And the Lord's the same way. The Lord is the same way. Paul Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, he says this. He says, Jesus does not say, come to me, all you who have learned how to concentrate in prayer, whose minds no longer wander, and I will give you rest. He says, no, Jesus opens his arms to his needy children and says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel weary like I did on that day, it's actually a great avenue for you to go to your Father in prayer. And if you start there and then you go to our Father in heaven, man, that is a ticket into intimacy with God. That is a ticket into what you were made for. Because I just remember I was driving down 75 doing errands. It was raining on Saturday. And I was like, Lord, like, there's so many things that I feel like I desire right now. I desire margin. I desire all these different things. And I was like, why am I praying this prayer? And I felt like the Lord kind of inverted what I thought was important and said, what's really going to last, Joe? What's really going to last? The kingdom of God's gonna last. My relationship with you is gonna last. All these errands and things that you're so concerned about really need to be put in proper perspective. And so there's a graph, a few slides of arrows. Of one is like, God is infinitely holy and he's also intimately personal. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it starts with the holiness of God and then it funnels down into saying that he's intimately acquainted with who we are in our ways. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, there's one other just key thing I feel like the Lord wanted to highlight is that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Holy Spirit is with us to help us pray this. And so that's what I want to do in a moment is just end by having the Holy Spirit just come and like speak to us about, are we adoring God in our heart? Or what thing or what person is taking that chief place? Maybe it's ourselves. Sometimes when I pray, the thing that I realize that is at the top is my own pride. And I just was so convicted by that. But the Lord says that because in Galatians 4:6, it says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. And he is infinitely holy, and he's also intimately personal inside of us, helping us to pray if we believe the Lord and have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So I'm gonna ask the band to come on up, and we're gonna take time to have the Holy Spirit just search our hearts. And if you're here today and you don't know God personally, or you don't know how to have a relationship with God, The good news about Jesus is that God created us, he loves us, and he made us for himself. But because of sin in our lives, because of the brokenness in our world, we're separated from him. But he did not leave us in that way. He pursued us, and he sent his son, Jesus, to live a dependent life, modeling what it's like to live a blameless life in relationship with the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he said, if anyone would believe in me, you will have eternal life. You will not perish, and you will have a door open for you to relationship with me. And it's that simple. It's not by our own works, but it's through faith in him. And if you believe that, then this morning, you and I have the Holy Spirit in us, and God is wanting to be with us and send us on an adventure with him as a church, to pray this prayer and to adore him in such a way that when we pray his kingdom come, his will be done, that there are people in our lives that we will have the opportunity to partner with God to see him show up in their lives. Amen? So just right where you're at, just wanna pause and give room for the Lord to come and speak to your heart. Are you adoring the Lord today? And if you're not, is there something behind your heart that you need to come to him like a child? Come to him in your mess. Come to him saying, you know, here's my boot. Here's my need. God, here's where my heart is at. I need you. I'm desperate for you. So Holy Spirit, come speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in this place. One of the things I just sense the Lord just highlighting is that verse where it says, the Lord already knows what you need before you ask, and that he's aware of the needs in this room. He's aware of the needs, and he's a good father. And so there's just an invitation to bring your need to him in prayer, whether that's privately, or we're gonna have our prayer and prophetic team up here that would love to pray with us. And sometimes we just need a brother or sister. You know, there's a reason why he says our Father. It's not just a private personal faith. We have a family, like Marshall was talking about, that we come and we need a brother or sister to pray with us, to come to our Father. And actually God uses our brothers and sisters to meet our need. And so if I can get the prayer team to come on up. I just feel like the other thing is just that if you feel overwhelmed and you can't do anything on your own, or feel like you can't do anything right, I feel like there's actually an encouragement for you that the Lord's actually leading you into more maturity, because Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. So if you're a parent in this room and you just feel like no matter what technique, no matter what you're doing, it is not working, I feel like the Lord is just inviting you to come and bring the need again, and that he wants to meet us in that place. If you have a demanding job and you're trying to hit deliverables, the Lord actually wants to meet you in that place. You know, we spend 2 hours on Sunday in a service and maybe 2 hours in a small group, and then you sleep, if you get 8 hours, about 56 hours. That leaves another 108 hours in the week, just of normal life. God wants to meet you in the 108. Just as much as he wants to meet you right now. And so just to bring, whether it's your job, whether it's relationship, as we pray morning, midday, and evening, as we practice the Lord's Prayer, I believe he's gonna speak to us. So we have our prayer team up here. To encourage all of us just to stand as we respond to the Lord. If you need to come to the front to get prayer, I encourage you to do so. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Reorient us today. And do it not only right now, but as we leave from here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, God, would you teach us to walk with you together? In Jesus' name, amen.